Well, good morning to all, particularly a welcome to our guests who join us here today at the Madeleine for the offering of this Sunday Mass. Please know that you're welcome to join us for pancakes in the parish hall immediately after after the liturgy, being hosted by our men's group. And I walked out of the rectory this morning, I could smell certain something that I thought, is that Brownie's Hamburgers or is that the parish hall? And it smells like a diner in there right now, but it's all right. So we're all are welcome. And please know that our pictorial directory will continue to take photographs for those. We have but one more day for people who can register to do that, and that is a week from this Tuesday, Tuesday, November the 24th. We have over 200 households that so far have taken part in this, and if you haven't signed up yet, you still have time to do that, and I have to admit I'm one of those households that still has to sign up. The 24th, we will take care of that today. Please also know that our women's group are hosting their annual Advent by candlelight on December the 1st, and there's information about that in the vestibule of the church. My thanks to all who were here on Thursday evening for our standing room only crowd for our Theology Uncorked speaker series. We heard Father Don Wolf, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, talk about the witness of Father Stan Rother, the missionary and martyr from Okarchi. We are fortunate to have someone here that night from St. Michael's Catholic Radio who recorded the presentation. So we're hoping that will be sent to us and will be put on the podcast for our parish at the website for those who were not here. So we're working on getting that done hopefully pretty soon. Please know that I'll be visiting some of our area schools this week to have lunch with the students that are members of the Madeleine. I'll be at St. Pius School on Tuesday, Jefferson Elementary on Wednesday, and Hoover Elementary on Thursday. Please know I'll be available to hear confessions this week, Tuesday from 6 to 7 and Wednesday from 5:30 to 6. Our condolences today go out to the family of Deacon Frank Cromer. He was a permanent deacon in Houston, Texas, who died unexpectedly yesterday. Our condolences to his family members that are parishioners and those that are with us here today. Also, we, along with many people throughout the world, offer our prayers for those affected by the terrorist attacks by Islamic extremists in Paris on Friday. Certainly, there's been a great response to this in our country to show solidarity with the people of Paris, particularly through social media. It's also worthy to point out, be reminded that this last week there were other terrorist attacks in other places. There were bombings in Baghdad. There was also bombings in Beirut, Lebanon. And while those attacks were not as well publicized, the one in Paris did not have as high of a casualty list. The violence is the same. And the dead from those attacks are just as dead as the ones in Paris. So we pray for all that have been affected. We pray for comfort to the suffering, recovery to the wounded, conversion of those hearts that are filled with hatred, and mercy, forgiveness, and eternal rest for all the dead. And for them we pray, eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed to the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. Since the end of daylight savings time earlier this month, we've all noticed that it gets dark really quick, about 5:30, 6 p.m. If you think it's dark now, wait until December. Wait about a month's time, and it'll be dark about 4:30 and 5 o'clock. But when the darkness comes, if the sky is clear, we can look up and admire the stars in the sky. Now, living in an urban area, as most of us do, it's something that we easily forget, that the night sky actually is full of stars. We don't get to see all of them because of the electric lights that often washes out, obscures the brightness of the stars. Sometimes that's referred to as light pollution. And only when we go to some place away from the city lights, and in a clear night, the brightness of the stars becomes more apparent. It sounds a bit odd, but it seems that the darkness brings out the brightness of the stars. The darker the night sky, the brighter the starlight. If you want to see a wonderful place, if you want to be in a wonderful place to experience this, go out to the panhandle of Oklahoma. And there you can, if the night is clear, you can see the Milky Way in all its glory. Now, one of the easier formations or constellation of stars to recognize, even in an urban area on a clear night, is the one that we refer to as the Little Dipper. It's shaped like a ladle for dipping into a container of water. And the brightest star in that constellation, the Little Dipper, is the one on the very end of the handle. Officially, it is called Polaris, or the Pole Star. More commonly, it's known as the North Star. Now, it's not the brightest star in the northern sky. But it's special because the star, without going into a long science lesson, the star is more or less aligned with the Earth's axis of rotation. Meaning that if we were at the North Pole and we looked up, almost straight up would be Polaris. And because of the rotation of the Earth, it appears, if you especially do time-lapse photography of the night sky, it looks as if that star never moves, while all the other stars are rotating around it. That's the appearance of you, that we would see in such photography. So it's always be able to guide us north. So go further from the North Pole into the north, towards the equator, always look in the night sky and you'll be able to find where north is. That's critical help to determine location and direction, particularly at times before we had GPS technology, particularly ships at sea, for example, or in the time of slavery for those slaves that were escaping out of the South, trying to find their way to the northern states in which slavery is illegal. They were guided at night by the North Star to guide them on their journey to freedom. The stars in the night sky, particularly in the ancient world, they also gave direction and navigation. They were also a sign of something else. They were a sign of stability. And it was not uncommon that kings in the ancient world would have a star that was associated to them. Remember that in the book of Matthew, the Magi, the wise men, followed the star that has arisen with the birth of Jesus. Now sometimes we look at the night sky and we see what we call shooting stars or falling stars. We know that those are mediators or space junk, basically, falling into the atmosphere. But in the ancient world, you saw a falling star or a star that had been there and suddenly began to fade. It was a sign of foretelling that that king who's associated with that star was falling from power. Today's gospel speaks of Jesus foretelling the disruption of the created order of the time of suffering known as the tribulation, the sun and moon darken, the stars themselves falling from the heavens. This is not so much about the possibility of asteroids and meteors striking the earth, but rather it's a foretelling that the kings of the earth, all earthly rulers, including the emperor of Rome, was going to fall from power. Well, the insight said for those who gather for the Wednesday morning men's breakfast and scripture study was this, that those falling stars were a sign of the falling powers of the rulers of the earth, including the power of the enemy, Satan, was going to be broken. And in their place, a new kingdom, one that will not pass away, was going to take their place, the kingdom of God. This kingdom not established by means of invading armies or conquering generals, but established through the cross and resurrection of Jesus. For those who are his disciples, the cross and resurrection becomes their North Star. It becomes their point of reference, their guidance, their sign of stability. And all the rest of life and all of creation itself revolves around it, revolves around Jesus. That's the great revelation of the Christian message. And particularly for those of us who have been consecrated to Christ through baptism, who come today to nourish that consecration in the offering and the gift of the Eucharist. In these final days of the liturgical year, next Sunday is Christ the King Sunday. The Sunday after that is the first Sunday of Advent. In the church's liturgy, where it's worship, it challenges us on different levels. Remember that we began this month with the celebration of All Saints Day and then All Souls Day that call us to face our physical mortality and to pray for those who have died, the names, particularly those who are displayed here in the vestibule, or rather displayed in the sanctuary of the church, or those whose names are in the Book of Remembrance in the vestibule, and also to spark in us that desire for holiness, to become a saint above all else. And the scripture readings, both at daily Mass and Sunday Mass at this time of the year, they speak of the last things. Death and judgment. Heaven and hell. Also known as the end times. This is not some pious fairy tale. This is not some way to scare us into believing in Jesus. Rather, it's the foundation of our Catholic faith. In these final days, the Church's liturgical calendar, we're challenged to ask ourselves, are we facing Jesus, our North Star? Does our daily guidance come from Him, or does it come from somewhere else? And do we face that the ongoing battles of faith and life with hope and confidence, knowing that the outcome of the war, of these battles, have already been decided on the cross, or do they drive us into fear and desperation? Questions well worth pondering. Not only about the disruption of the created order in the end times, but also today. How do we as the Church, those of us who have been consecrated to Christ, how do we face the threats of violence and terrorism that we've seen this past week in Baghdad and Beirut and Paris, when we've seen exposed the face of evil? Perhaps the night sky can guide us. The darker the night sky, the brighter the stars. A fellow priest has a wonderful, I think, insight on how do we as a church face these threats of violence. His name is Father Dwight Longnecker. He is a priest in Greenville, South Carolina. He has a blog. He writes books and things like that. He's one of these fellow priests that I wonder, where does this guy sleep? When does he sleep? I mean, he has a blog. He's active on social media. He writes books. They're building a great big new parish church in Greenville. And by the way, my mom's family, a lot of them are out of Greenville, and my grandma Katie can remember when the only Catholics there were the nuns who ran the hospital. So for me, that there's a big Catholic community building a great big church in itself is like, well, maybe that is a sign of the end times for all I know. Can be from having spent a lot of time there in my youth. But Father Longnecker offers, I think, a wonderful insight about how do we as the church face these threats of violence. He says that justice and self-defense are justified. But an endless cycle of revenge and bloodlust is not. He also makes a very good point reminding us that barbarism has been defeated before by Christianity, many times before, in fact, but never through violence. It's always been through the gradual, heroic, and long-term mission of the Church to live the gospel. The star of the Roman Empire in the West, it fell. And it was replaced by Christianity, not through physical warfare, but through the lived example of Christian faith, hope, and charity, with Jesus as the point of reference, the star that guides us. You know, those of us, if we give an example, those of us who trace our ancestry to Europe, perhaps we've forgotten this, but somewhere along the line, hundreds, if it's not more than 1,000 years ago, our ancestors were converted to the message of the gospel. Converted from worshiping trees or the deities of the forces of nature. And it happened not through force, but through the efforts of generations of Christian missionaries who faced hardship, torture, and death to share the life of Christ with our ancestors. That's how Christianity and the Church's message to live the gospel has spread throughout the world. China is on track by mid-century to become the most Christian nation on earth. And it's not going to be through force, but through the lived example of Christians. And that's how the battle against this barbarism is going to be won. The battle that continues on in Paris and elsewhere, But Christ, our guiding star, Christ, the morning star that never sets, guides us and reminds us, His church, that the ultimate victory has been won already on the cross. For when we see the disruption of the created order, the darkening of the sun and moon, the powers of this earth and heaven shaken, we know that the Son of Man is near at the gates. The North Star shines brightest when the sky is darkest. And we, His elect, His church, exist to give living witness that while heaven and earth may pass away, His word, His living presence in us never will.